herzlich willkommen zum It's So Eagles Podcast.
Mit Nico Totzek
und Erik Nüber.
Wir begrüßen Sie heute an einem schönen Donnerstag. Die Folge kommt Donnerstag hoch. Nico, geht's dir gut?
Mir geht's gut. Den Umständen entsprechend.
Ja, mir auch, den Umständen entsprechend.
Okay. Aber es ist schön zu hören, dass es dir gut geht, dass du hier wohl auf bist im Podcast-Studio. Jetzt können wir auch wieder hier ein Podcast-Studio aufnehmen. Es ist wieder ein bisschen wärmer geworden.
Endlich.
Deswegen dachte man, jetzt kann man jetzt auch hier wieder sitzen ohne Winterjacke.
Endlich. To-Do-Liste für heute. Yeah. Wir wollen jetzt einmal am Anfang unsere aktuelle Situation besprechen, auf die Spiele gegen Stahnsdorf und Wolmestedt zurückgucken. Und dann haben wir heute noch einen Gast.
Yes.
Den Spieler, der im Laufe der Saison zu uns gekommen ist. Ich glaube, zum Jahreswechsel war das Mason Virus. Mhm. Und mit dem schnacken wir gleich in der zweiten Hälfte der Saison.
Folge. Wir schnacken mit ihm auch in der zweiten Hälfte der Saison, tatsächlich.
Genau,
das ist nicht nur das eine war, das ist beides war. Ja, ich wollte gerade sagen, es gibt zu dem Part, wenn ihr Mason nur den Part von Mason hören wollt, das ist in Shownotes, wann das anfängt, aber das machen dann ja auch häufig dann auch die Zuhörer und Zuhörerinnen, die dann nur Englisch sprechen, also Freunde und Familie dann von Mason, deswegen versteht es keiner, also war der jetzige Part, den ich hier angesprochen habe, komplett unnötig, Erik.
Dann ist das so. Hast du trotzdem gut gemacht.
Dankeschön.
Bitteschön.
Also, wie ihr schon rausgehört habt, der Part mit Mason wird dann auf Englisch sein. Wir haben ihn schon aufgenommen, Tatsache. Ganz komisch, sonst machen wir es immer im Nachhinein, nachdem wir uns begrüßt haben. Fand ich sehr interessant, jetzt schon mal vorweg gesagt, die Folge mit Mason, hört er auf jeden Fall hin. Wir haben, glaube ich, auch deutliches und verständliches Englisch gesprochen. Davon gehe ich eigentlich sogar aus.
Hab dich gut verstanden.
Oh, selten. Das höre ich selten.
Du redest ja auch sonst immer Deutsch.
Ja, das stimmt auch wieder, ja. Nee, aber das kann man auch hören, wenn man jetzt nicht unbedingt jeden Tag mit Englisch zu tun hat, das versteht man schon. Würde ich jetzt mal einfach so sagen. Ich hoffe, ihr seid dann auch mit dabei. Aber bevor das losgeht, werden wir jetzt erstmal Erik und ich über die aktuelle Situation reden. Lass uns da, wie ich das immer schon sage, chronologisch beginnen bei Wolmirstedt, dem Auswärtsspiel.
Ja.
Das ging leider verloren. Wie war das Spiel aus deiner Sicht?
Wir haben. Ja, ist jetzt schon ein bisschen her. Wir haben nicht genug Firepower gehabt. Das Spiel war eigentlich auf Augenhöhe. Am Ende haben wir dann Wolmirstedt wegziehen lassen. Und da hätten wir, also meines Erachtens, in dem Spiel mehr Möglichkeiten ziehen müssen aus unseren offensiven Waffen. Mhm. Und das haben wir in dem Spiel nicht gemacht. Und hatten auch eine offensive Waffe, die da schnell raus war, bei Ivan zum Beispiel. Der hat am Anfang des Spiels gab es da ein paar Schwierigkeiten. Filmer war an dem Tag
Welche
nicht
Schwierigkeiten
da.
Schwierigkeiten gab es?
Sag ich sofort, Filmer war an dem Tag nicht da. Und noch zwei andere offensive Waffen, die wir auf jeden Fall haben, sind
der
Jack
und Spieler.
Genau, sind Jack und Tim, die aber auch mit 5 Haus schnell raus waren. Genau, Situation mit Ivan, für die Leute, die das Spiel nicht gesehen haben, im Laufe der ersten Halbzeit wurde er vom Gegenspieler gefoult und dann, nachdem das Foul da zustande gekommen ist, waren die beide sichtlich nicht glücklich mit der Situation, mit Stirn an Stirn. So, also Foul vom Gegenspieler an Ivan. Ivan steht auf, Gegenspieler und er gehen so aufeinander zu.
Ja, was man im Fußball alle 3 Sekunden sieht, gefühlt.
Ja, und
meines ist aber ein anderer Sport. Also nicht jetzt keine Rechtfertigung dafür, aber hat er sich vielleicht einfach falsch abgeguckt.
Ja, und die Frage ist halt auch, wie reagiert welcher Schiedsrichter und welcher Sportart? Mhm. Ich habe das, glaube ich, auch schon mal im Basketball gesehen. Die Reaktion ist immer anders. In diesem Fall, jetzt beim Spiel gegen Wolmirstedt, sind beide Spieler des Platzes verwiesen worden. Ein disqualifizierendes Foul an beide Spieler. Genau. Das bedeutet, beide Spieler mussten die Halle halt verlassen. Und dann haben wir halt ohne Ivan gespielt und die Wolmirstedter ohne Bill Borekambi. Und ist trotzdem nicht zugunsten unserer Seite ausgefallen. Und was denn noch in der Laufe der Woche dazu kam, Ivan wurde für uns für das Spiel gegen Stahnsdorf gesperrt. Der durfte das Spiel nicht spielen.
Der war nicht mit dabei beim Spiel gegen Stahnsdorf.
Ne? Genau.
Ich werde es gleich nochmal erzählen, wenn wir jetzt schon zum Spielgegenstand so kommen wollen, im gebatscherten Englisch, aber jetzt erzähle ich es nochmal. Wenn ich eine Folge hochlade, kann ich aussuchen, ob da Explicit Content, also wie heißt das, Schimpfwörter und so drin vorkommen oder nicht. Heute habe ich ausgewählt, dass da drin was vorkommt, deswegen sage ich es jetzt mal, mein Gedanke nach dem Spiel. Verdammte Scheiße.
Ja.
Was war das denn? Was für eine Kacke.
Ja.
Sorry, also das war ich. Vielleicht spreche ich tatsächlich auch den einen oder anderen Fan da auch aus der Seele, vielleicht auch nicht. Selbstverständlich, das lassen wir offen. Aber wieder so knapp und dann auch noch auswärts verloren.
Hm.
Ach du heilige Scheiße.
Ja.
Kannst du dich anschließen bei den Schimpfwörtern oder nicht?
Ja, ich gehe da jetzt einmal noch rein. Wir haben das, wie gesagt, in der anderen Teil
der Folge. Wir werden es auch gleich nochmal mit Mason besprechen, genau. Ja, deswegen schneiden wir es jetzt auch nur an.
Genau, wir scheinen es an, genau, dass die Enttäuschung sehr groß war, weil die erste Halbzeit so gut gespielt worden ist und wir ohne ersichtlichen Grund in der zweiten Halbzeit eingebrochen sind. Und obwohl wir nicht genug gepunktet haben, was Timo auch als Problem ausgezeichnet hat in der Analyse, sind für mich ein, zwei Situationen im Spiel im Kopf geblieben, wo wir defensiv nicht da waren. Und das ohne Grund. Also einfach so Sachen, wo man ein Problem hätte lösen können, indem man miteinander geredet hätte in der Defense, wie man so schön sagt. Hey, ich hab den, du gehst etwas nach rechts und machst ihm mal die rechte Hand zu. So ein Satz hätte uns, glaube ich, vor 4 bis 6 Punkten geschützt und eine gewisse Readiness, Bereitschaft in der Verteidigung, Gegenspieler auszuboxen. Das heißt, wenn der Ball auf den Korb geworfen wird, aus der Zone rauszuhalten oder weg vom Korb zu halten, Punkte, die uns, zwei Sachen, die uns 10 Punkte gegeben hätten oder die 10 von denen von hätten. Und da sehe ich ganz große Probleme drin. Und das war, sehe ich, als Schlüssel an, der uns zur Niederlage gebracht hat.
Ja, dennoch die 5 Punkte im letzten Viertel. Füge ich auch nochmal einen extra Scheiße hinzu. Heute lasse ich das mal alles raus. Ich bin auch irgendwo Fan, tut mir leid.
Ja.
Also irgendwo bin ich da auch mit Herzblut dabei und gucke dann da im Live-Ticker. Ich war leider anders beschäftigt. Mann, das war ich richtig genervt. Ihr natürlich auch. Also bevor das jetzt hier im falschen Hals kommt. Ihr selbstverständlich auch. Ich jetzt auch nicht aufgrund der Leistung, sondern irgendwie, das sagst du auch heute noch in der Folge, irgendwann hat man auch, wenn man Scheiße am Fuß hat, hast du Scheiße am Fuß, ne?
Oder auf Hochmut.
Oder an den Händen, whatever.
Ja, genau. Ey. Ja, also ich bin einfach nur echt wütend auch und auch so ein bisschen ratlos, warum das so passiert ist.
Ja.
Weil das war ein sehr wichtiges Spiel in der Saison und hätten wir diesen Sieg genommen, hätten wir so einen großen Schritt weg von den Abstiegsplätzen gemacht.
Ja.
Und das wäre so, so bitter nötig gewesen. Und dann, ja, viele Fehler, wo ich mir das auch selbst an die eigene, wo ich mir selbst an die eigene Stirn fasse und sage, Erik, das hättest du auf jeden Fall anders machen müssen. Im Hitze des Gefechts natürlich denkst du nicht sofort daran, aber wo ich mich im Nachhinein echt super ärgere und wo ich mir sage, Erik, das hättest du einfach nur diese Entscheidung anders treffen müssen und so wäre das Spiel anders ausgegangen.
Noch ist es nicht vorbei, Erik.
Genau.
Das will ich jetzt auch schon zu cutten.
Ja.
Lass es, ist doch. Jetzt ist es passiert. Was willst du machen?
Genau.
Jetzt haben wir die 5 in der Matte, wir können auch 2 Referate halten und die umdrehen. In kein Fehlkurs. Weißt du? Ist so. Wie oft ich das früher gemacht habe. Also ich habe 3-mal ein Referat über Gravitation gehalten, Tatsache. Bis heute weiß ich, kenne mich einigermaßen ganz gut darin aus. Also eure Referate sind natürlich keine Themeninhalte, die ihr vortragt, sondern sind Spiele. Also ihr habt noch das Spiel gegen Leverkusen, Heim und das Auswärtsspiel noch gegen Iserlohn Kangaroos und ihr habt es ja auch noch in eigener Hand. Tatsache. Das vergisst man ja immer so gerne hier.
Ja, das haben wir, das werden wir bis zum letzten Spieltag in der eigenen Hand haben, weil, ja, auf jeden Fall, weil wir haben jetzt als direkten Gegner haben wir jetzt Herford, die haben genauso viele Siege wie wir und wenn wir das hinbekommen, dass wir mehr Spiele als die gewinnen, dann bleiben wir in der Liga. Wenn wir genauso viele Spiele gewinnen wie die, bleiben wir auch in der Liga. Der einzige Punkt, was nicht passieren darf, ist, dass wir weniger Spiele gewinnen als Herford. Beide Teams haben noch 2 Spiele. Das heißt, wenn die alle Spiele gewinnen und wir auch, bleiben wir in der Liga.
Herford spielt noch gegen Rostock Sivos 2 und aber auch gegen Eben Büren.
Genau, wir gegen Leverkusen und Iserlohn. Also
tendenziell schwierigere Endaufeinandertreffen,
genau.
Aber auch da das stimmt ja auch nicht. Also so funktioniert Sport ja auch nie.
Eben,
ja?
Genau.
Deswegen sind doch diese ganzen schlimmen Wettbüros alle so reich.
Ja, genau. Ne? Ja, hast du recht.
Deswegen verlieren da Leute immer so viel Geld. Macht genau. Das nicht, liebe Leute.
Aber da sagst du auch den Punkt, deswegen sind diese nächsten beiden Spiele eigentlich die wichtigsten der Saison. Und die bestimmen dann, wo die Zukunft zu Eagles hingeht.
Auch mal die wichtigsten des Vereins.
Des Vereins, genau.
So sagen.
Und da heißt es echt, alles, wirklich alles diese Woche tun, um am Wochenende da bereit zu stehen, um die mit in der Hand zu haben, um Leverkusen zu schlagen.
So sieht's aus. Es ist noch alles in der eigenen Hand. Am Ende spielen einfach 5 Männer auf dem Platz gegeneinander und wechseln sich da ab und an mal durch, wenn die Puste ausgeht. Und da kann alles passieren. Da kann das goldene Handgelenk auf der einen Seite sein und gar nichts klappen auf der anderen Seite und auch andersrum. Also es ist alles offen, liebe Leute. Ich muss es nicht sagen, ihr kommt so und so in die Halle, auch wenn ich das jetzt noch aufrufe. Kommt aber in die Halle. Livestream ist jetzt mal, ist auch cool so, aber die Leute brauchen, also mit den Leuten meine ich, das Team braucht euch vor Ort. Seid da laut, unterstützt sie, klatscht mit, ruft, feuert mit an. Das, Erik, wir sagen es ja ganz oft, das müssen wir nicht mehr so ausführen, aber das hilft wirklich.
Ja.
Gut.
Naja, natürlich. Hä?
Ich gucke Erik ein bisschen an. Naja, aber wie gesagt, manchmal ist man sich da nicht so sicher. Das hilft wirklich. Und dann geht's auswärts nach Iserlohn. Wo liegt Iserlohn? Wissen wir jetzt auch nicht.
Da, wo Johannes Konrad Basler spielt.
Ja, super. Können wir das noch schnell mal googeln? Ist das weit weg?
Bei Hagen.
Och, wo liegt Hagen?
Ach so, du meinst, wo Iserlohn liegt. Iserlohn ist in der, also wir fahren nach NRW.
Ja, guck mal, ist doch nicht allzu weit weg.
Genau. Und das sind halt die ganzen Teams da, wo Schwelm, Köln, Leverkusen auch liegt, so in der groben Richtung.
Köln liegt in NRW, wusste ich gar nicht.
Also in die Richtung.
Ach so. Mann, komm, kleiner Witz, Erik.
Guter Witz.
Guckt er mich so ganz ernst an. Naja, gut. Hast du noch was?
Nee.
Ich habe noch was. Weil das jetzt die vorletzte oder vorvorletzte Folge ist. In diesem Jahr. Das lassen wir jetzt nochmal offen. Dass die vorletzte ist oder vorvorletzte Folge ist, werdet ihr dann sehen. Den Weg mit dem Zaunfall habt ihr verstanden. Aber auch das Podcast-Jahr neigt sich zu Ende. Genau wie die Saison. Also die nächste Podcast-Folge wird in Tatsache erst nach dem Spiel gegen Iserlohn Kangaroos rauskommen. Und ich glaube, das ist auch gut so, dass wir dich dann in der Woche auch mal alleine lassen und du mal gar nicht dann daran an einen Podcast denken muss und einfach nur Basketball spielen kannst.
Ja.
Und dann nach der Saison, wenn die Saison zu Ende ist, kommen dann noch 1, wahrscheinlich 2 Folgen noch von diesem Podcast, unregelmäßig aber hochgeladen. Also da werden wir uns wahrscheinlich noch ein bisschen mehr Zeit lassen, vielleicht ein bisschen weniger Zeit lassen, wenn das irgendwie zustande kommt. Rechnet aber nicht damit, rechnet eher, dass es mehr Zeit dauert, wo wir dann nochmal alles rekapitulieren. Aus dem ganzen Verein und da wird nochmal zurückgeschaut auf die Saison. Aber
ich bin dabei.
Da freue ich mich drauf. Bis jetzt erstmal viel Glück und muss ich gar nicht wünschen. Doch, wünsche ich jetzt schon mal viel Glück am Wochenende und euch wünsche ich jetzt viel Spaß mit dem Teil mit Mason Virus, Erik Nübeck und meine Wenigkeit Nico Tutzek.
We out.
Brr.
Okay, now we're here. Nico, great to have you, and we have someone else in the show tonight, Mason, glad to have you.
Thanks for having me, excited to be here.
Nice.
Thanks for being here, Mason, thanks for taking your time in this part of the season, in this late part of the season. There's many things happening at the Eagles right now, but first of all, we wanted to know you a little better. You know, there's always the thing with basketball players, and it's so that most of the audience just seeing they're playing basketball, and once every 2 weeks or something, and then like didn't get to know who's playing basketball. You know, well, that's the way, and that's the reason we invented this podcast, and we're really happy that you're participating today.
For sure.
So the first question we always want to ask our guests is, why do you start playing basketball? And more specific, why even basketball?
So I started playing basketball in the third grade. In middle school, I played soccer all the way until eighth grade. So it was basketball and soccer. And then once I got into high school, it was something I sat down with my trainer in eighth grade, and he was just saying, hey, what are your goals with basketball? What do you want to do? And at eighth grade, I don't think a lot of kids really know necessarily. So it kind of caught me off guard, but I really sat with it and I was like, hey, I want to try to play at the highest level possible. Like, I want to play college basketball. I want to play overseas. And he was like, all right, write it down on a piece of paper. And that's what he held me to, that standard. And it was almost like, okay, you say you want to be a professional. I'm going to treat you like a professional and you're going to train like a professional. So when it comes to time to be a professional, it's second nature to you. So starting eighth grade, it was something always like my routine was just, I was very disciplined and dedicated to the sport. So I would say that was kind of, I had that goal and that was just a dream of mine. And luckily, God willing, I was able to achieve it.
And we're happy that you choose basketball. So that's the reason you're sitting here today. Yeah. And it's all right now. Eric, did you know in the eighth grade what you want to be? What you want to, like, do?
Eighth grade. I want to, how old were I when I was 13, 14? 13, 14,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, I like that comparison because that's about the time where you... where you first get into contact and coaches or other authority figures ask you, what's your goal with your sport?
Yeah.
And I think right off like 9th grade, 10th grade is where in Germany they ask you, so do you want to go professional? Do you want to play high school and college, high levels? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I feel the thinking you have.
Yeah.
What I have to ask, was it hard for you to make the decision between soccer and basketball?
I would say it was because my eighth grade season, I forget how many games we played exactly, but I had 30 goals on the season, and I felt like going into the high school I went to, it was a basketball powerhouse, but they also had a really good soccer team. So I felt like, and the way the seasons lined up, I actually could have played soccer and went right into basketball, so I wouldn't necessarily be missing anything, but I think I had a bigger love for basketball, and playing soccer was almost just like, hey, you're going to play more than just one sport in middle school, really figure out what you're going to do. I mean, I played t-ball and baseball until fourth grade, but I never really stuck. So I feel like me choosing basketball was just, I had a deeper love for it, and it was, I knew what I wanted to do with it, so that's why I kind of stuck with it.
Mm. Interesting to hear. So
I got to ask, what is t-ball?
Yeah. So t-ball is, it's before baseball, so it's almost like, think about, it's you set the baseball on something, so if we're setting on the mic, and
yeah,
that's t-ball. That's,
I've seen that.
Second,
yeah.
Third grade, yeah. And then you have coach's pitch, and then you have
okay, I got you,
little league.
Yeah. I got you.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, but I've seen these things, like where you have the ball on top of it. Yes, yeah. I've seen those.
But interesting to hear that you had the decision between, you say soccer, of course, I do. Yeah. I say football, and basketball, because I think the influence of, I would say, soccer right now in America isn't that big as in Europe, obviously. Mm-hmm,
for sure.
So what was the influences over there? Like, is it like more you look to South America and like these leagues and Mexican leagues and what's it called? MLS?
Yeah.
Or it's like European football with Messi, Ronaldo, something else?
I feel like almost every American when they're younger is put into soccer. Mm-hmm. Just as, hey, you're put into a sport you might not know what you're doing. But I feel like that's one of the very first sports where it's like, okay, if it's soccer, if it's swimming, if it's karate, like you put your son or your daughter into a sport like that just to learn about the basic fundamentals of communication, leadership, teamwork, how to work in a group.
Mm.
So I don't necessarily know what the influence, because like you said, in Europe, it's completely different. Mm. Anytime you go into a restaurant, it's soccer, soccer, soccer. Compared to the U.S., you might have to be in a, for instance, say like a sports bar or a betting bar that would have a soccer game on. It's not like you go into a bar, hey, okay, let's watch the soccer game. Mm. There's not a huge influence, at least for me in my experience. So I would say, I think it was kind of my parents just threw me into it, and it was something that I stuck with again until eighth grade.
Yeah.
So,
Interesting. Very interesting for me. Do you have a favorite soccer team?
I do not, unfortunately.
Okay. So the decision for basketball was made and was very clear to you. Okay.
Okay. So after middle school, obviously you continued your basketball career, which is great. And we know you had a few professional sports already. Mm-hmm. Can you take us through your journey a little bit, your basketball journey?
So after college, I came out during COVID. So it was crazy because my senior year, kind of similar situation that we're in right now. Mm-hmm. We weren't in contention for playoffs. So senior night came, played the game, and in about 2 weeks, playoffs were about to start. COVID hit, and all the seasons were done. So it was almost like... It was a blessing in disguise because I can't imagine what those players felt when, hey, we're going to playoffs and then all of a sudden everything's stopped and you can't play for a championship. So I came out during COVID. I signed with the agency a couple months after, and I would believe I was signed for 7-8 months. And matter of fact, I thought my first offer was going to be in Germany. I thought I was going to go I believe it's a Regio team, Hamstars.
Yes, this is the first Regio team.
Yeah.
Yes.
So my agent called me, hey, I think we have an offer, yada, yada, yada. Hmm. And then COVID, he was like, it's a lock, it's a done deal.
Oh, wow.
And hey, they don't have the sponsors. A month went by, and it was so I was just waiting. And then middle of December, I get a call from a team in Malta, which is right off the coast of Italy. It's a small island. End up signing to go there, left right after Christmas, was there for 3 months, and we're warming up for my first game. And you know, those first game where it's like, okay, I finally get to say I was a professional. I played my first game. I kid you not, I look up at the clock and it was about 14:32, and all the refs go to the middle, and we're like, usually the refs are stretching out, like, what's going on? They blow the whistle. The first game I was going to play, hey, game's canceled. One of the players on the opposing team has COVID.
Oh, no.
So then I had to wait another 2 weeks. Uh-huh. Finally came back, played the first game.
Finally.
So it was just good feeling to finally play. And then you had to wait 2 weeks. So in a three-month span that I was in Malta, I only was able to play 3 games. So they canceled. They ended up canceling the season. The last month I was there, we were on complete lockdown. And I know every country was different, but the restrictions there were, hey, you can't go outside without a mask. Mm. If you were a smoker, I'm not a smoker, but you have to stand in place. You can't move and walk. So it was, then I had my roommate, his girlfriend was there, and we had a car that we would share. So he would take us around. Hey, you can't be in groups of more than 3. Mm-hmm. So then it was just like the last month there, it was like, is this what overseas is like? So that was a little adjustment for me. Ended up signing back there my second year, played the full season. Good experience. Nice. Really, really nice weather. The city I was in, I was able to take a ferry to go to the capital city, which is Valletta. But I love Malta. I mean, the food, the experience, the culture, everything. I would say the league is really dominated kind of by imports, but it was a good league where, hey, okay, you can produce, you can get your film, and a lot of guys that I play with now are playing all over. One of my boys, Avery Sullivan, plays in the other division with the number one team. Another guy I knew was playing BBL. NBL won in Australia. So, I mean, it's a good stepping stone. Mm. So after that season, I ended up taking a deal to play in Albania Super League, which I signed with Tejuta, which was the number one club in the country. They were back-to-back champions. Played half a season. We had won a cup at the end of the midway point. So that was my third cup. I had won 2 in Malta. And it was a good experience in Albania, but originally we were supposed to be playing in Kosovo in the Liga Unite.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days before the league was supposed to start, we're not playing in the league. And that was a big thing where me and my agent were like, hey, that's a good marketing league. You play at Kosovo. It's big time crowd. So I was super excited for that because, again, like, playing overseas, the crowds and the fans are completely different than playing in the U.S. Unless you're at, again, a high major school, but it's you don't have the same appreciation in the U.S. compared to Europe or other overseas clubs. So I ended up not re-signing for the rest of the season. So I only played 11 games in Albania. And coming back, I had put good numbers up, and we thought I'd be able to join a club mid-season, but nothing ever came through. Okay, we'll get you here, and then this deal fell through, and that deal fell through. So that kind of just fell back onto my mantra, which is embrace the grind. And so I was training kids, I was working.
Were you in Albania at that time, or were you?
So I went back to the States.
Back to the States.
Yeah. So I was working at a gym. I was training. I was doing two-a-days. Basically, just staying ready. Mm. And same thing. You get a call. Hey, this is about to go through. Fall through. And I had maybe 3-4 different. I almost went to Lebanon. Deal fell through. Just a couple countries where it was like, yeah, it's right there, and then it never went through. And then fast forward, and my boy's agent, Avery, that I spoke on earlier, he was in talks with my agent and ended up signing here. And that's what the story's wrote so far.
Now you're sitting here with us. Very interesting to hear at first. In comparison to the basketball in Germany, how different is like to Malta and Albania? So what's the key differences?
I would say the level of play, it can be more tactical. Mm-hmm.
Around here or around there?
In Germany. Okay. For Malta and Albania, with Albania, the coach that we had he had won the last four out of five championships. Really should have won the last five, but the one that he didn't win, he stepped out before playoffs. So I had a really good coach. I had, again, respect to him. He knew what he was doing. He had a very structured system. So in Albania, I would say it was structured compared to Germany, maybe just a little more tactical in a sense, but I would say every country has a different play style, almost.
Mm-hmm. So. That's very interesting to hear for us, because we had we had Chris Hooper here, who was a player for us for like 3 or 4 years, and he played in Argentina.
Okay.
And he told us that when he's under the rim in Argentina, it's like WWE.
Yeah.
So it's like wrestling, and you feel like the taker and doing a pile driver, whatever it says, and the refs don't give a... You know,
yeah.
They just don't care. And to comparison to Germany, when I see some refs like blow the whistle immediately if they're touch, you know, so that's always interesting for us to know. But I guess not just the basketball is different in these countries, I guess. So the life is kind of different. Yeah. Like you already said, Malta has some good weather, I guess maybe better flat than around here or better apartment. I don't know. or do we have to share your bed?
I mean, it's a funny experience because where I stayed at, the club actually owned an old prison facility.
Oh.
So it was a huge facility and the gym was inside. So I lived on the third floor and I had access to the gym whenever, a practice gym. And then it was connected to a restaurant inside the building as well. So it was a huge facility. And when you walk in, it was like... all the windows would be barred up.
Yeah.
So it was like, an experience in itself, but you felt secured. And compared to other imports that I talked to, I felt like the club I was with had probably the best accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, experience within itself, but I enjoyed it.
Secured is a nice way to put it. I have to ask... in Germany, Malta is a first vacation spot. Like people from Germany, they like to go to Malta to vacation. And Albania isn't the first thing you would say in the, as a German to go to vacation to, but...
No, but we got many, many people who's from Albania who live in Germany.
Yeah, the other way around. That's a connection. But, like, Malta is, like, more like a vacation type of place. Did you have good, like, places to go out of basketball, or was it only I was in the gym and no space, no time for going out and doing vacation type of things?
Yeah, so in Malta, it was... How small the island is, you can go from one side to the other within less than an hour.
Really?
Yeah, oh, I didn't know that. It's a very small island. So for being there, like I said, a full season of 3 months, I was able to almost see, hey, okay, you're visiting. You need to check out here. You need to check out here. So it was perfect. I mean, again, having access to the ferry where I could go to the capital city or, again, hey, let's get in the car. Let's go to a beach. There was a lot to do, and I love the routine of, I'm a morning person, so, hey, okay, I'm going to get my lift in, I'm going to get my basketball workout in. If we got practice in the evening, that leaves me with X amount of hours, middle of the day, let's get my mind off basketball. So I would say in Malta, you could get outside, of just being stuck in the basketball. It's only basketball. Because again, I feel like peace off the court leads to peace on the court. In Albania, I was in the second biggest city, which is Durrës. And I didn't get to experience that summer life, but apparently in the summer, that's the best city to be in. Toronto was the capital city, which was about 45 minutes away. But same thing. In Albania, we had towards the end of the season, I had 3 other Americans, and we all stayed in the same flat. So it was fun because, again, you could get out with Americans. There wasn't that language barrier. We could go out, hey, we're going to walk down here. Let's check it out. I would say the biggest thing that can be frustrating for me in Germany would be that everything's closed on Sundays, and that's our main off day.
Yeah, true.
So that's got to be, like, the biggest adjustment for me because I'm like, Sunday, okay, hey, let's go try this. And then it's a hose also a little smaller too. So it's been an adjustment.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like good for the workers there, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Some are very happy about it. It's very interesting to hear from other places you've been to and the experience you got. But then there was a point where you got the call from your agent and said, there's a team in Germany who, like, wants to have you, wants on your team, and you, I would say, kind of ask them, hey, what's it called then? How's it called? and he was like, I guess so, it's a Hohe Girls.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your first thought about the name of the city? Just let it out.
The first thought was, I'm going to be honest. So when my agent called me and sent me a text, he called me and he told me the record. He told me, I believe at the time was 4-10.
Which
it was the midseason. So it was 4-10. Yeah. So looking at both divisions, he didn't say which division. So he didn't say which team.
Okay.
So there was 3 teams. And I'm like, I believe there was 2 teams in the North Division and 1 team in the South.
Yep.
So I was looking at both teams and I'm like, okay, is this team where it's a hoe? So then I looked up the Instagram and I'm looking and I'm like, that's kind of like a different name. Like, I like it. So that was honestly my first experience. Yeah. I like the jerseys. I like this. It was the little stuff. So that's kind of what drew me in.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird, I guess, for your family and for your friends too. Like when you say them and they play there, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
So the city is called. But yeah, I ask it a lot to every non-German speaker who's in this podcast because I like to give a little information because why is it called like this?
Mm-hmm.
So it actually does not have anything to do with, like, what everybody thinks.
Yeah,
it's like old German kind of words that put in together. It's like the hoe is actually it's old German saying for forest, because we got a lot of forest around here, and the Itze was a river who floats through the city. So that's the combination through it, and that's what we call it. It's a hoe.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and to this day, nothing changed.
No German had an idea either.
No, I had to Google it very, very hard. Like, Yeah. Well, that's always the joke, you know? Yeah. When we say, or when I say I was born and raised in Itzehoe, and everybody's like,
where?
Yeah, where, and it's a what? And yeah, but we're happy that you still choose our team.
Sure. I have to go back to one thing. Before Timo was our coach, Pat Elsie was our coach, who's born and raised in the United States. And when he was coach here, and he brought in players from international players, especially from the US, there was always the talk in the beginning of the season, and he always said, guys, one very big thing for our international players, Sundays, everything is closed. Because, well, you don't know.
Yeah.
When I was in the States for 2 years, I realized, yo, everything is open on Sunday. Yeah. What a blessing.
Yeah.
And here, like, you have to know, because there are situations, especially on holidays, where they're closed even on not Sundays. Yeah. We had shortage on guys who didn't have food. So we had to bring them food or whatever. So that's like a big thing for you and other international
students. That was me, like, the first, probably what was it? We had a game, and I'm like, I didn't have nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I had just moved. I think it was like a second to third week. I'm like, they said everything's closed on Sunday. That's American. I'm like, there'll be something open. I'm good. Yeah, and I'm walking, and there's nothing open. What am I going to eat? Like, is Domino's open? Like, I'm looking for something, some type of food. I'm like, pizza, like something. I just need something to get me through the day. But I definitely was there.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. Have you been to like the beach, like St. Peter Ording or the?
I have not. Whatever. I've heard a lot of things, but I haven't had a chance.
I guess Dom and Ivan was there. I saw a picture on Instagram or whatever.
I don't know.
It's just a pro tip for me. Like, these doors are open there, you know, because it's a vacation spot on Sundays. Okay. Actually, it's just a small short period of time at the day. I guess like 3-4 hours, whatever. But they are actually open on Sundays because it's like vacation.
Yeah, I would definitely. I had a chance. See, that was the thing. When I was in Berlin, after a game, I stayed the night, and I had a chance, and there was a lot of stuff open on Sunday in Berlin. Yes. So I'm like, oh, well, it must just be like the bigger cities, and same thing in Hamburg. So that's where I was like, I'm like, oh, it's just our city. Like, we can't go to the grocery store. And that's, again, as American, like, Sundays for us, or me specifically, is I'm going to try to find a new restaurant or go somewhere, try something, and then it's always like, go to the grocery store. Mm. It's almost guaranteed, go to the grocery store. And again, that was just another adjustment where that's a part of it. That's the experience, again.
Yep. You talked about you had two teammates, two American teammates in Albania.
Yeah, so I started, when I got there, there was two, and then we ended the season 3.
Yeah, and you talked about, obviously, there's no language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Here, to give our listeners a quick background, we, in our practice, we talk English.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's the second language for most of the guys, some are better, some are worse. How was your experience on the other clubs with the English? Was it easy for you? Did you get a translator or something, or did you just have to go do whatever and they talked in their language?
Yeah, I would say it wasn't too bad in Malta. The thing that was always fascinating to me was how quick players could transfer over. We could have a full conversation, and for instance, if it was Malta, it was Maltese to English, or if Albanian to English. Even here in Germany, like, you can have a full-on conversation, we could be talking in English, and then you can snap over to German.
Mm. But, like, yeah, so they were able to.
Yeah. It wasn't too bad. In college, I lived in Michigan, and then I played in Chicago, then I played in Missouri. So even playing in the States, it's almost like a different type of, I guess you would say, like, slang of English. So it's almost like if you're in more of the rural areas, you could have the countryside of things. I played 20 minutes from downtown Chicago, so I kind of got the experience of that. Which, again, it was all English, but it's almost like, for instance, in Germany, how St. Moin is a northern thing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it's correct. Almost like the little slang of that is just little stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I want to mention one, I guess, funny video I saw a few days ago when you talked about Chicago players. When I was in the States, I was in Texas. Mm-hmm. I had a few people coming from New York, Chicago, from those spots. Me, being German at that time, being German at 18 at that time, my English wasn't the best. And a few weeks ago, I saw a video when Giannis Antetokounmpo was talking to some like US American. Mm-hmm. And the US American, I think he was talking full on Chicago slang.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, there was like a video and Giannis was nodding, mm-hmm. acting like he understood. Yeah. And the caption said, as if he understood one thing. And I had the same experience when I went to the States, when these guys from like the areas, the big city areas, where they had a big slang. Mm-hmm. And they talked to me and I was like, I'm sorry, you gotta say it again. I didn't understand you. And I said like 3 or 4 times and I was feeling so rude because I was asking and asking. Yeah. I didn't get what he was saying. So, which was like crazy because the slang can be so mm-hmm. different in different mm-hmm. times of the America. I didn't know that before coming there.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely every state almost like I'm about 30 minutes from Detroit. So Detroit has different slang than Chicago, New York. There's so many. Every part of the U.S. has their own little slang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting about these languages and everything. We heard about Trey McBride, who played for us last year. And we're going to play against this weekend. He played in, was it Serbia or Slovenia or something?
Serbia.
And they don't actually care about that. They didn't understand anything. They just said everything in Serbian, or the god, the language.
Yeah.
And if he's understood something, it's good for him. If not, it's his fault, you know? Mm-hmm. You gotta live with this.
Yeah, you kind of have to be able to read, like, body language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like, at times it could be bad because, well, you're judging off of body language, off an assumption, and you don't really know, and then... So
just try to, I guess. So. like going to Google Translate or something. Like, we got the tools, you know.
But like I think what is good is that the most of the teams provide a good foundation of English speakers because if they bring you in, they have to have some sort of English speaking players or coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm, interesting. I want to go to the part where we could talk about a little bit outside of his basketball career.
Definitely, yes.
Should we do that?
Definitely.
So I guess I want to... No, first of all, just a general question to ask you. What are you doing besides basketball? Is there anything in this, your daily life, that you like, you like to do?
So I would say outside of basketball, I try to read. I would say my... second year, that's when I really got big into it. In middle school and high school, I would read, but it wasn't like, hey, I got to read X amount of books. My second year overseas, my first full year, I want to say I read 27, 28 books. So, again, it was almost just like you have a lot of downtime. So back to the saying of peace off the court leads to peace on the court. It's just a way to... get your mind off of basketball, get your mind, occupy your mind with facts and how can I pick up new things, pick up new habits. So I would say reading something. I'm big into traveling. Had a chance to go to Denmark when we had our little break.
Mm, nice. Maven, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. So that was a fun experience. I would say traveling, big into food, trying new stuff like that. Kind of just working on my brand with, I have a clothing brand, a training.
That's actually the point I want to ask. So, I like to do a little research about, the players who like come to podcasts, of course, mm-hmm. and like join the Zoo Eagles. And, when I saw your Instagram account, I, saw the line "embrace the grind."
Yes, sir.
What is it about?
So, embrace the grind is embracing the good and the bad, whatever comes your way. So, embrace the grind. It was something that I created in 2020, and I wanted to create a brand and a clothing line that really applied to everyone. Yes, my reach and I can reach the basketball culture. I can reach the basketball community. But embrace the grind. If you put that on a shirt, you could sell it to Someone that plays football. Someone that plays, may not even play sports. Okay, he's a lawyer. He's a doctor. Mm. Because anything in life, life is not just going to be just level-headed medium. You're going to have ups and downs. And I think the biggest thing it bounces back onto is your perspective of how do you react to adversity? How do you react to challenges? So it was just embrace the grind one day at a time. It's, again, how do you take it one day at a time? Okay, hey, this guy got this promotion. I should have got it. Okay, now I got to go that much. I have to work that much harder. So that was, again, started in 2020. Fast forward to now, sold over 1,000 shirts. I have shirts in over, I believe it was 33 states in the U.S., a couple countries. Yeah. So I do everything, the make the logos. The only thing I don't do is manufacture shirts. So
yeah. So we're waiting on the collab with the Itsu Eagles.
Yeah.
Just got a couple of weeks left, yeah. But maybe it's gonna happen. Eric, what's do you embrace the grind?
Well, like when you said embrace the good and the bad,
mm-hmm.
which I think is very important because some people forget that there are two sides of the coin. And I think I'll try it, but the harder it gets, the tougher the embracing becomes, mm-hmm. Which I think I, as a person, sometimes struggle with, and as a basketball player, because when it gets tough, you always have to take a step back and look back at yourself, look yourself in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
and I think only that's when you can embrace the grind, which I try to do, but yeah. Like I said, I'll try it.
Do you have does Eric already have his shirt?
I don't have any right now, but it's something when I'm gonna get a dropout this summer, so I definitely want to get some merch in Germany. Because again, I feel like it's a powerful thing within social media. You never know who's watching, who you're inspiring.
Mm.
So again, hey, I've got lots of messages. You don't know who I am, but you've been a big inspiration. Like, now I've applied this embrace the grind. So again, I think it's a powerful thing when you can, something happens in your life and you kind of really have to sit back and say, okay, this is happening. How do I better myself from this situation? I mean, if we were to look at our situation right now with the team, how do we learn from it? I don't ever feel like something that happens to us isn't necessarily a loss. I believe it's a lesson. So, okay, as more experienced players or, say, the veterans, how can we impact the younger kids coming up? How can we tell them to, hey, okay, this season, don't chalk it off yet. Take this experience and use it in the future. Use this motivation of, I don't like this feeling of these close losses. I don't like this feeling of being this team because I know I can be better individually. So again, we're all human. We're going to have good days, bad days, but I think it just comes back to the perspective of embrace whatever's comes your way, embrace the good days, embrace when it's gray and it's cloudy and it's raining in Germany.
Oh, actually good weather today for German kind of conditions, but that's actually, yeah, that's really interesting and really inspiring to hear. And this part of the podcast was sponsored by Embracing.
I like that.
if a listener wants to have a shirt of Embrace the Grind, what should they do?
So actually on my Instagram I have a link. Like I said, this summer I'm gonna get a lot of merchandise out. So far I've pretty much done anything you can think of, from shirts, long sleeve, tank tops, shorts, pants. Only thing I haven't done is like socks, but I've done hats, beanies,
everything you need,
everything, backpacks, duffel bags,
notes. I put his handle, handle in there,
stickers, keychains,
and everything. So there was already this good, in German we say, bridge to another topic, the current situation, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Do you say a bridge in English too? The bridge to another topic? Do you say that in English? Is that a thing?
You get what I mean.
Yeah, I was wondering because I was thinking if there's a thing in English. Yeah. I was thinking, but yeah. Yeah, the current situation, you're right. I'm sorry, I fucked up your bridge. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks for the assist, Eric. So what was we were going to say? Okay, let's talk about the last game away against Stahnsdorf. When I upload the podcast, I always can choose, like, is there explicit content in this or not? So I can click this for you now, and you can give me your real opinion about the last game, because I did say something implicit after the game, because it was so frustrating, actually. Not like that I'm kind of, how's it called, sad or kind of not happy with your performance. It's just like, it feels to this point that we are not having any luck, and you need this, in my kind of opinion. Eric, maybe you want to start.
Yeah, I would put luck out of the equation. I was very, very mad or sad. I was very up on emotions after the game because, especially in the first half, I felt like we're gonna get this game. If we play that, we're gonna get this game. At some point, we were up by 22 or 20 points or whatever, and I remember we had one player, Phil. He was having a great first quarter, was making a lot of shots. But I felt like we were also clicking as a team. We were doing good things, not only him, but also other players, getting offensive rebound. Rob had a few situations, Dam too, as other guards were contributing as well, not only on the offensive end, but on the defensive end too. And what I said yesterday in the video session was, I don't know why it changed in the second half. And that's why I was so upset. There were a few moments where I was like, that didn't have to happen. Maybe we weren't on the 100% on the same level defensive-wise that we were in the first half. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, yeah, the second half shouldn't have happened the way it did. And in my opinion, you can have bad offensive days. This is human. Mm-hmm. You can like miss your shots. Kannst Scheiß an den Fingern haben. That's what we say in German. And you always got to come back to defense. And I believe, even though we only scored 5 points in the last quarter, if we would have played better defense, it automatically translates to easier offenses. And we might have had a few more transition layups, 7 or 9 points, which would have been enough. Yeah.
What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I would pretty much just to bounce off that, agree with everything. I feel like we even had a lot of close looks, or we would say like bunnies, easy shots that should have just went in and didn't. So, I mean, basketball is always going to be a game of runs. And I think the biggest thing that could be hard at times is you can't get complacent. That was, at least in my experience here so far, I think that was our biggest lead going into a halftime.
Hell yeah.
So it was kind of like, you don't want to get on this high train and just coast. I think we came out as like, if you were to look at games, back couple games where we've came back, our third quarter, I want to say we're just, if we played every game like we did when we come out in the third quarter, we're a playoff team. No question about it. But again, basketball isn't a game of only 10 minutes. It's a game of 40 minutes. So if you want to look at this past game, I feel like it was, Coach Timo said I was 25. We played a good 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's still not enough to get it done. So, I mean, it really just comes back to playing 40 minutes. And for those 40 minutes, leaving it all out there, you can't get complacent. Okay, if you get complacent for 5 out of those 10 minutes, now it goes from a 22-point lead or a 20-point lead to an 8-point lead. And then you're playing in an away gym. There's the, you got the rhythm of the game, you have the motivation behind the crowd, even if it was a smaller crowd, it was, again, you could say the shots were unlucky, you could say the refs, we can make up all these excuses, but at the end of the day, we just didn't get the job done. And moving forward, I feel like that's just, anyone that played in that game can just look at it and still take something from it, and just really try to apply it, even if it's not this season, but in the coming seasons. So I would say that's my opinion.
One thing I want to add real quick is a thing that's been going on throughout the whole season, even before you were here too, we are missing the skill to finish someone off who is with the back to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like Stahnsdorf, if we would have had like one or two more punches,
mm-hmm.
and would have gotten a lead of maybe 5 or 6 more points for after sure. the half,
for sure.
I think we could have gotten the job done.
For sure.
And I think we're missing some kind of skill to put those games away, because we had some games like that before, and most of them got to a tight game where we lost closely or won closely. And open games can be decided by a lot of factors. And if you have that mentality to, okay, 20 points up, we can put that one away. Yeah. We got to work on that mentality, like you said. Maybe not for the next 2 weeks, but for the remainder of your basketball career.
Yeah. And like I would say off that was, if we had that third quarter mentality, that's something where you come out to the game with that mentality, or, hey, I mean, let's face the facts. The numbers don't lie. This is what we are in the division. What do we have to lose? Nobody's rooting for us. I don't want to say nobody's rooting for us, but who expects us to do, like, have that chip on our shoulder to, okay, every time we start that third quarter, we're down 12 points, 16 points. We come back from a 20 points. So I think that's just something, like, having that mentality from the start and playing like that for 40 minutes, it's a completely different team. And again, game of rhythm, stuff like that.
Mm. So that was on Saturday. We got Wednesday today, where we're going to record this podcast. How was the time in between? So how was training? How was getting back to the gym? Yeah.
Mm. Well, I think we talked about the game yesterday at video a lot, and we analyzed a lot of individual stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And what Timo said at the end was good. The game is over now, and we have to face the strongest opponent right now in the league. Leverkusen is coming up. And we'll have the next few practice days to get ready for them. And our mindset should shift right now to that game, because that's going to be a hell of an important game in our situation we're in right now. So that's how the practice is going. Switch off the attention. It's intense. We are sticking to what we can do and don't try out new things at this point of the season. And what we are already doing, we got to improve to the point that it's in our blood and we can do it while sleeping.
Embracing the grind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Very happy to hear. So you already said that's what I'm thinking too. Season's not over, and even if it's Leverkusen who's coming up next, there's still everything in your own hands. So I've watched a lot of sport movies, you know.
Yes.
And it's always the game against the big clubs, where they change everything and everything went well, and the story ends with a happy ending and something like that. And
I like that fast.
Yeah. I would be happy if this happens on Saturday. So let's talk a little bit about Saturday against playing against Bayer Leverkusen. Mason, I think it's not too easy to go in there with a completely calm mind, you know, with everything Eric just said, and it's a tough game and something like this. How do you prepare, like, psychologically for a game like this?
I mean, I feel like it kind of goes back to when I spoke about, hey, this is my dream to play professionally, approaching it in a professional manner. So every game day, you kind of want to have a routine. And it's just something where, like Eric was saying, we have three practices before this game, before this match. So taking care of your body physically, mentally, spiritually, making sure nourishment, everything, you're getting sleep. But going into the game again is, I have that chip on my shoulder of, why not us? It's, they put their shoes on just like us, regardless if they're this club that has this amount of money, these amount of these type of players. At the end of the day, we're playing basketball. So I don't feel like we need to make it bigger than what it is. We're playing basketball. We have 40 minutes to compete. Leave it all out on the floor. And I think as players, we can live with that. If we leave it all out on the court, we don't ever want to leave the court in regrets of, hey, I feel like I could have did more. E, that's on me. I should have dove for that ball. We didn't communicate. I wasn't being a good teammate. I got too emotionally attached, and I didn't help you up. That's on me. So, again, I feel like going into the match is know what's at stake, know there's pressure, but also at the end of the day, smile. We're playing basketball. Like, we're blessed to be in this situation.
Yeah. Nothing to add. Nico's looking at me right now. Nothing to add. It's a great, very professional mindset, which I think is
needed.
Which is needed, yes. Which is needed in our team and in the situation we're in. And everybody should, look to players like this and translate it to their own game. To not get enough, to not make himself too much pressure, but in the league we're in right now, some level of professionality is expected.
Like you said, we got nothing to lose on Saturday. They got plenty to lose on Saturday. They want to stay in the first seat.
Yes.
But yeah, we'll see what's happened on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. And then there's the last game against Iserlohn Kangaroos on the week after this, but I guess it's kind of hard to talk about that right now when you're having such a hard game a couple of days before. Okay, let's wrap it up as the it's the Eagles part. Eric, I know you have a question or two for Mason left.
At the end of the podcast, Mason... we have one like category of sorts in our podcast, and since you played basketball, you also played soccer. We wanna know right now, what is the of all time worst like exercise or like drill you ever had to do, and what's the best exercise you had to do if you have to think of the things you did in the past in sports or basketball.
Is there even a worse exercise?
Is there even? Is there even
embrace the grind?
I would say the worst as for basketball is everyone has a different saying, but sidelines, 17s in a minute. So I would say that's mine. So 17 touches, sideline to sideline. So that one, because usually some people do 16s. In high school, it was, no, we're doing 17s. So I would say that's probably my least favorite.
Which makes sense.
That one gets you in probably the best shape.
True.
My favorite exercise? Honestly, I would probably say, I don't know if it's fair to say exercise, but I don't do it here because it's different in Europe, but when I go to the sauna, I stretch out in the sauna, so I would say that's...
Oh, okay.
Here it's a little different, I know, I don't know how to do it here.
Public
but,
sauna.
So that was another thing. We're going to touch and talk on that. That was a complete shock for me because that was my first... It's co-ed? Oh, okay, you have to be... Okay. Yeah, so that was different.
Yeah. Worst exercise would obviously ask everybody who was here. And it tends to be the drills without the basketball in the hand.
Yeah.
So we're all kids. Yeah. We want to do team sports and play like basketball, soccer, football. Like some type of ball has to be within a group of people. And that makes a lot more fun. That brings a lot more joy than just running up and down.
Yeah. You broke down a basketball so easily. It's not that hard, isn't it? It's just basketball and like 10 guys having fun.
True.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's everything.
That's from my side, yes.
Okay, everyone who listens to this podcast and comes from Germany or speaks German, I guess so, is in the gym, or how's it called? I wouldn't say
Halle?
Arena, and the Halle,
Halle.
Is German, and on Saturday. But if you're not decided yet, come there. It's the last game of the season against Bayer Leverkusen, and be there. And everyone who is not German-speaking and most of so living in the US, watch the stream, the Twitch stream. You will hear my voice again, but not in English this time. This time it's going to be in German. Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to this game and the next game, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, best of luck. And Masons, thank you for being here today, participating in this podcast, and telling us so many incredible and interesting things about basketball and yourself.
For sure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Till later.
Till later. Do you guys practice today?
Yes.
Okay. Have a nice practice, guys. Okay. We'll see. And bye, everyone who listens.
Cheers.
And tschüss.